Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. Today, we will hear Dave talk about the art of personal selling. Yes, that is something we get a lot of questions on. What do I do? How do I actually sell in a way that works? Today, we're going to talk about that. We also have in studio one of my heroes. Mike Hyatt is here. He's a business leader, a blogger, a speaker, an author, chairman of the board of Thomas Nelson, just an incredible guy, somebody who I have learned a lot from. And he's going to be in here talking about his new book release that is today. His book is releasing today. His new book is called Platform. So incredible, incredible book. Let me just tell you that right now. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. Once again, we want to thank you for not only joining us, but for making this the number one podcast on the planet in the category of leadership. Now, this week's lesson, we're going to be talking about personal selling. All leaders, all people, but mainly all leaders need to learn to sell. You have to sell. Oh, but Chris, I don't sell in my leadership. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All leaders sell. You have to learn how to do it. You have to learn how to do it the right way. Dave is going to share the steps of the selling process and why you should start using them as a leader right now, even with your team. But you've got to be able to guide your team in the way of selling personally. Because here's the deal. I always tell people this. I don't care if you have a warehouse full of product. Until a sale is made, you don't actually have a business. You have to learn to sell. So, here is Dave Ramsey on the art of personal selling.
All leaders must learn to sell. There are no exceptions to that. Leaders, speakers, preachers, purchasers, controllers, administrative assistants, parents, and spouses sell every day. Persuasion is truly the world's oldest profession. Selling is the highest paid profession with the most advancement potential. More people come out of marketing into CEO roles than any other category. These days in publicly traded companies, more people are coming out of the CFO role because the bean counter matters more than the idea guy. Thus, the problem with a lot of publicly traded companies. Nothing to pick on you CFOs or anything like that. But generally speaking, they're bean counters, and that's what we do, those of us that are numbers crunchers. You've got to have, now if the CFO has a marketing bent to them, that's fine. Or they're an idea or an entrepreneurial thing, that's fine. But too often you see companies get killed by this. And so what you're going to find is this, you are always selling. And that's not manipulative. In order to have relationships with people, you're selling. You know, when you walk into a restaurant, a waitress, a waiter is selling you. The hostess is selling you. The ambiance and the experience is selling you. The brand that you associate with is selling you. Purchasing something from a good salesperson is truly fun. Purchasing something from a bad salesperson is one of the most frustrating experiences you'll ever have. I've taught selling. I've been in sales. I am a salesman. I sell ideas every day. Now, I've been selling you all week. I'm telling you that this is the way to do things. If you do things this way, you're going to get this result. I'm convincing you all week. That's what teaching is. It's selling. But selling, for some of you, it's like, oh, I would never be in sales. Oh, no. Because you're above sales. Sales is beneath you. Or you just never would want to be one of those kind of people. You are one of those kind of people. Every one of you are. We're all in sales. If you ever ask somebody for a date, you're in sales. Everybody is. Now, we don't want to be one of those kind of people, though. We don't want to be one of the bad ones. We want to be one of the good ones. I've taught this stuff for years. I know all the techniques. I know all the little things, the manipulation things. I know all that other garbage that people use that you shouldn't be using. I know all of that. And so when I walk in and I deal with a pro, it's fun. It's fun. We go in to buy something that I want to buy, and I watch them sell Sharon. I just sit there. That was good. You did that so well. Good job. Here's a check. Good job. Thanks for helping me get that. I wanted it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, and I knew everything he was doing, everything she was doing. I'm going, wow, that's a nice little twist there. I may steal that one. That's good. I like that. I did that at Lexus the other day. I've got a Lexus, and I dropped down at Lexus, and I dropped my car off. And when I went back to pick it up, I went in, and they have a hostess over next to the service center with coffee and homemade cookies. I went, and she's like, would you like a fresh baked homemade cookie and a cup of coffee? Yeah, I think I'll wait a little longer on that car. I hope it's not ready. That's good. That's good. Makes you want to buy another Lexus there. For a cookie. That's good. So you know what I did? I went back to my office and got me one of those. We took our bookstore, completely ripped it out, changed it all, put little round tables and chairs around it, little bar stool chairs, and created a coffee shop. And we've got this massive coffee bar with frou-frou coffee. You can get all the little different kinds of things, all the little latte frappe things you like or whatever they are. I get coffee. But espressos, everything, homemade coffee. Our homemade cookies every morning, home-baked breads, pies in there. And I hired Blake Thompson's mom, who's like 60 years old, Martha. And Martha is like June Cleaver. She wears a white apron. We named the thing Martha's Place. So when you walk into our offices, you're not coming into corporate America. You smell freshly baked coffee and cookies and cakes. And they're all free to you. Wi-Fi is free in the lobby. You can sit there, drink your little frappe latte thingy, and watch me on the radio, have a homemade cookie. When you walk into our place, you get completely disarmed away from a cold, sterile office. It's a completely different atmosphere. And Martha comes out and greets you. And if you're sitting around, Martha has, she's been there. Blake, her son's been with me 14 years. He's my producer. So she's been around us for all that time. And she literally has personally crafted and learned all the old Dave stories from the old days and knows every nuance about our company. And so she stands around and people gather around her and she tells stories about our company and the legends of the company. It's a great idea. I totally stole it, but I made it better. It may be one of the best things we've ever come up with. It's amazing. I get more love mail on Martha than any other thing. Fan mail. We put her recipes on Twitter, and they explode. Everybody wants Martha's recipe. She's more popular than I am some days. It's ridiculous, you know? This is fun, isn't it? You walk into that atmosphere, you're loved on, you have this sense of home. You're hurting. You're about to lose your home. You've had a big fight with your spouse, and you're sitting there in the lobby waiting to go upstairs for financial counseling. You don't want to be in a sterile, corporate, disinfectant-smelling waiting room. Ooh, that just adds to the stress, doesn't it? Just think, that's selling. Everybody thinks selling is some guy in a checkered coat trying to twist your arm to buy something you don't want. That's not selling. That's an idiot. That's not selling. Everybody's in sales. Get comfortable with the idea. Buying, therefore selling, is a process that develops step by step. Now, let me ask you this. Other than the fact that I just covered this whole thing that everybody's in sales, if you realize and you admit that you're in sales, how many of you would agree with me that if I'm going to be in sales or my people are going to be in sales, the last thing I want them to be is pushy, and the last thing I want to be is pushy? Do you ever want to be perceived as pushy? It's not a trick question. Say, no, I don't want to be pushy. No, I don't want to be pushy. No, I don't want my people to be pushy. Right? There's only one way to avoid that. Because you're creating a transaction. If you're not pushy, you're pulley. You're going to be one of the two. The transaction is not going to occur as a natural effect unless you understand a process is involved. There is a step-by-step process when someone buys, when someone sells. And if you violate the process, if you leave a step out, you're pushy. If you do the steps and you understand the steps, you're pulley. And the steps happen 100% of the time. That's not a sales pitch. That's not a marketing guy. That's just a fact. And you will agree with me after you understand this. There are four steps in the selling process. Therefore, four steps in the buying process. Qualification, rapport, education, and the close. This happens every single time. Now, I will tell you this. The steps, the bigger the item in size, dollar amount, and the more time it takes to do the process that you're engaging in, the more pronounced and identifiable these steps are. The smaller the item in price and the quicker the transaction, these steps will go by in a nanosecond. You won't even realize they're there.
With that information, hopefully you're seeing that every purchase goes through the four steps. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's a pack of gum. Doesn't matter if it's a multi-million dollar house. Doesn't matter if it's a car. Doesn't matter if it's a t-shirt at the mall. Every sale goes through those four steps. The question is, how well did the person selling actually handle those steps? Did you waste a ton of time by not qualifying the person in the first place? Did you not build rapport? Did you not educate in the process as to why the purchase is necessary or the purchase is needed or whatever? And then finally, which so many people struggle with, were you able to close them? If you did the first three, the close should come naturally. It shouldn't be that difficult. But what I find is most people don't do the first three, and so they're struggling with the last one because they're trying to force a close. And whenever you do that, it just gets messy. Messy, messy, messy.
I love that the example of sometimes people just feel like they're not in sales. They're admins.
I know.
And then Dave says, well, if you're married, you made a sale.
A sale was made. And for some people, they did a great job with the sale. Well done. So, folks, there's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are. Every single one of us sells. Every person sells. You just have to understand the process. Once you understand the process, once you start putting it to practice, then it becomes easy. Keeping in line with sales, I have got one of my heroes in the studio here today, Mike Hyatt, an incredible guy. He was CEO of Thomas Nelson for 6 years. 6 years. He now serves as its chairman. He's a professional blogger, author, speaker, amazing guy. Over the course of 6 years, he has grown his blog, michaelhyatt.com, to an incredible, incredible platform. He's consistently ranked as a top blogger for productivity, leadership, publishing, and social media marketing. So I am very pleased to have Michael Hyatt join me here in the studio today. Mike, it is so good to have you here.
Thanks,
Chris.
Glad
that you are on the podcast this time. As people know, as they read my blog, they see you are one of my heroes.
Well, thank you. I'm honored.
I got a chance to, when I started writing, when I started getting into social media, all that kind of stuff, I don't know what the heck I was doing. Mm. And so I was so pleased. I knew you were doing all of this. I knew you had blown yours up immensely. And so that was really exciting for me. So it is great for me to have you in the studio today. Just a little bit about your background. Obviously, you're CEO of Thomas Nelson. You are now chairman of the board of Thomas Nelson.
Correct.
You're a speaker, blogger, author. I mean, what don't you do?
Well, most importantly, I'm the father of five daughters.
Yes, you are.
And I've been married for 34 years. So that's kind of my most important thing.
Five daughters. Wow, that is awesome.
Yes, I do suffer from estrogen poisoning. But
I bet you do. I mean, do you have a boy dog somewhere in the house? Something.
No, I've got sons-in-law now. Sons-in-laws, that's hard to say. But yeah, I've got three of those now. And a fourth one. In fact, by the time this is on the air, I will have my fourth one.
Oh my gosh, that's very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm glad that you're here because we're speaking about sales in this podcast and your brand new book that is coming out, I believe, today.
Yes.
Is Platform.
Yep.
And this is powerful. This is a great book because, once again, everything I've learned in my blogging world, I've learned from you. Hmm. I steal from you all the time, which it's not stealing because
you're
constantly telling people how to do it the right way. And so I'm just impressed by how much I've learned from you. But now you've taken everything and put it in a book called Platform. Tell us about the book.
Well, the book basically takes the idea that we live in an incredibly noisy world where there's so much competition, so much distraction that if you're in sales or if you're trying to get your brand, your message, your product, your service noticed, it's almost impossible because you face a blizzard of noise out there. And so what I did, and as the CEO of a publishing company, I got tired of authors who had great ideas, great content, a compelling proposal, maybe the entire manuscript written, but we had to send them packing because they didn't have a platform. Content's king, But as it turns out, platform's queen, and if you don't have both, you cannot build an empire. But it's also true for salespeople, for small business owners, anybody that's trying to get noticed. This book is designed to take you by the hand, and I share with people exactly what I've learned over 8 years, all the mistakes, all the dead ends, all the trials, the errors. But how do you build a platform and go from zero to where today I've got a very significant platform because of the stuff I share in the book?
Tell about your platform, because it's big.
Well, I've got about 15,000 followers or fans on Facebook. I've got 120,000 people on Twitter. But most importantly, my home base, which is my blog, I've got 300,000 unique visitors a month.
Golly.
That and that's growing exponentially, over 100% a year. So 160%, I think, last year.
Mm. The audience that's listening, small business owners, leaders, people who want to be leaders. The book, again, you're coming from the side of your frustration was watching people get turned down. And so you've learned how to build this platform. But the crazy thing is that this is not just, this is not traditional at all.
No.
You've learned things that the creative type of people mm-hmm. have gone and promoted and learned how to promote themselves. So this is all about sales, no
yes.
matter what. So if I'm a plumber, this applies to me. Can you explain how that is? Because some
yeah.
people are going, well, social media, I'm trying to always convince them, but explain that a little bit.
Well, here's the deal. I don't care what you're doing. You're in sales. You're either trying to sell yourself, you're trying to sell your product, your service, a cause, something you're trying to sell. And it really comes down to networking. And social media is like networking on steroids. There are people in my life today that I'm doing business with that pay me real money that I met on Twitter, or I met them on Facebook, or they started coming to my blog. But the thing is that social media creates this bond with people where they get to know you, and as they get to know you, they trust you. And that's the foundation for viable sales and for a growing business, is that kind of trust where people enter into a relationship with you and they keep doing business with you because they trust you. They feel like they know you. And social media makes all that possible.
And like your title says, it's about being in a noisy world. Where so many people have been trying traditional marketing forever
mm-hmm.
and not working out or barely working out. But like you just said, somebody on your Twitter, I've had, and I have to write about this because I've had a ton of people that have connected on my blog, commenters, just that have connected and started doing business. And I get this email from them going, dude, you're not going to believe this, but I just got a client because I was doing something in the comments and bam,
yeah.
now I've got somebody else. And I think it's easy for somebody like me to understand the need for the book, but for somebody who, again, is in that place of, but wait, all I know is advertising the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
All I know is, what about putting up a billboard? All I know is, explain the difference of what social media is doing now compared to what traditional media is doing.
Well, all that traditional media used to work, but it was very expensive. You know, you had to either get picked to have a radio show or to have a television show, or you'd spend millions of dollars in advertising. But in this kind of world where it's super over-communicated, people don't trust advertising.
Right.
It feels like spam. I mean, I love watching the morning shows in the morning and getting my news and Today Show or whatever, but when the commercials come on and the guys that are trying to sell me cars or furniture are screaming at me, I just turn it off. I don't have a relationship with those people. It feels like spam. Social media has changed everything. Because suddenly now I can become an expert in my category, whatever it is. If it's insurance, cars, whatever it is, become an expert in that so that people want to connect with me and actually find out what I have to say. So it's possible for the first time in history to build your own media channel. Mm. You don't have to rent somebody else's platform.
Right.
You can build your own. It's affordable and it's scalable, and most importantly, you can be in control of it.
I love that because, like you say, I'm not paying for Comcast now.
Yeah.
You know, if I need to run a TV ad, I'm not paying for print because print is now, for the most part, online.
Right.
You know, and one of the things I put on my blog is a video called Social Media Revolution. I'm sure you've
seen
that thing.
Oh, I use it when I teach on this. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And one of the things I love is when they show, and I don't remember exactly the percentages, but it was something like 14% of people trust advertisements online.
Yeah.
90% trust customer responses.
Yes.
Trust what customers are saying. So speak to that a little bit because, again, trying to break myself out of this mold of
traditional, when I'm looking online and I'm going to YouTube, which now people are going to, you know, obviously Google's that's a given, mm-hmm. but now people are going to YouTube to find out about things. How do I do this? How do I make this happen? How do I learn about this process? And if I'm teaching that stuff, if I've got those videos online for free, then that's helping people. So explain that process of how people are turning away from trusting ads and starting to trust people themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the key. And I think it's very human, you know, that we trust the people that we know. And in a world that's so over-communicated, where there are so many options, I mean, like, go try to buy a tie sometime and walk into a store and see all the options. Well, so what do? We take the recommendations of our friends. We even value the recommendations of people that we don't know above advertising. Mm. That's why Amazon works. When you go and you read all those reviews about a book, I mean, you don't even know any of those people. Right. You don't know how they got there or what their worldview is, but you trust it more than if you saw an advertisement for that book. And so that kind of crowdsourcing, crowd filtering process is very real, but it works in the insurance business. It works in the mortgage business. It works in all kinds of small businesses where people want to know, well, what's that guy's reputation? Right. Do I know that guy? If I do, I'm likely to do business with him. If I don't, probably not. And an advertisement certainly isn't going to convince me.
Absolutely. And one of the things I love in the book you talk about is messages. Mm. We're trying to create all kinds of messages because, again, that's what we feel like we're supposed to do. But you say it's not that we need more messages.
Right.
We need a wow experience.
We need a wow experience. In fact, the first part of the book I talk about, starting with wow. David Ogilvy, who was an advertising guy, had it right when he said, great marketing only makes a bad product fail faster. Mm. It's true. If you don't have a wow product that exceeds the expectations of what your customers are looking for, if you can't do that, you can't produce a wow experience. And people are looking for wow, and your competitors are willing to pay the price to create a wow experience.
Definitely.
So you've got to decide, what is it about your product, your service, your message, your cause, your brand that is really wow? And again, what does my customer expect? How can I exceed those expectations? That's what creates wow. That's the value that you have to really focus on when you're adding it on your product or your service.
Is there, talk about some of the elements, because my favorite thing is you talk about the evangelism.
Yeah.
Of if I've created that wow effect, then what happens? Like, so what are some of the elements and what are some of the outcomes?
Well, the element you're after is word of mouth. You know, you want people to become unpaid evangelists on your behalf, where they're talking up your product and your service and they're saying, hey, Chris, I mean, I just hired this guy to trim my bushes that was unbelievable. Listen to what he did.
Right.
You know, you can't buy that. No amount of advertising or promotion will buy that. It starts with a wow product. I mean, I'm a huge evangelist for Apple products.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, it's only because I love them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I saw that first iPhone and I saw Steve Jobs demonstrate it, I thought, first of all, I was very skeptical when I went in because
right.
I thought, it's a phone.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? But when he demonstrated it, I said, I have got to have one of those. More importantly, when I got it, I told everybody I knew about it. I blogged about it. Apple's never paid me a cent. And I bet I sold millions of dollars worth of Apple products I love it. But that's what you're after. And it's that word of mouth that social media amplifies today because of the technology. It makes it possible to connect to everybody. Everybody has a microphone. Everybody's connected. If you understand those two things, you understand social media.
How does the book help somebody? Because sales is such a daunting task. Knowing what to do. We always talk about marketing and owners and leaders. It's a love-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You love it when it works. You hate it when you don't understand what the heck you're doing.
Yeah.
So moving in this direction, a much easier direction, a much more cost-efficient direction of the social media side of building your business. How does the book help somebody with that daunting task of making that happen?
Well, basically, I give you a framework for understanding how you market in this new world. And it starts with building a home base and then expanding your reach and then engaging your tribe. You've really got to do those three things if you're going to be successful in the new world of marketing. And marketing today, this may be a little bit of an overstatement, but let me say it. Marketing is dead. Mm. In other words, the idea of me just pitching you and wearing you down so right. you buy my stuff, those days are over. What it's about today is really about sharing who you are, what you're passionate about, telling stories, and engaging people in the passion that you're passionate about. And so it's a very different thing. And in the book, I walk you through step by step. every step that it takes, and there's lots of lists in the books. They're in the book. There's a lot of steps on how to get from A to Z. But everything I recommend in the book, I've done. Mm-hmm. So this is an armchair theory. It's not speculation, pie in the sky. This is down to earth, practical, step by step instructions. I wrote it for somebody who doesn't have a technical background, for somebody who is a little bit put off by social media. By that author that couldn't get published. By, like, I was sitting with an insurance sales person yesterday, a friend of mine, and he was so frustrated because he said, I'm frustrated with the quality of leads that I'm getting. I don't like paying for the leads that I'm getting. I wished I had some visibility with the people that matter so that when they think about insurance, they come to me. And I said, that's exactly why you need to be involved in the new world of marketing and social media, is you need to be a trusted source so that when people think of that product you're trying to sell, they come to you.
Yeah. The book, the way you wrote it, by the way, is stunning to me, because as I've gone through it, I realize that I'm going back and looking at pieces and saying, well, wait, you got to jump on that today. Wait a second. I'm supposed to be reading the book for the interview and get, wait, no, you got to go look at that and make that happen. You wrote the book. It's not like a normal book. This isn't just a read through it, you're done, you've got some great ideas. This is almost like a manual.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you put it together that way.
Yeah, I did. In fact, somebody that reviewed it told me that this was basically Seth Godin with specifics.
Oh, yeah.
And Seth, who wrote the book Tribes, and if the listeners haven't read that, they should. It's a great book on marketing. But then what? Once you buy into that concept, then what? So the book is arranged around what I call these five basic components of a platform. And there's 60 chapters. They're pretty short. So about 12 chapters per part or per component. And again, it takes you all the way from the beginning to the end. And I wanted a book that would make people do exactly what you did, which is they read it, they go, oh my gosh, I can do this and I've got to do it now.
Right.
So I want it to lead to action.
And if I need to, like, there's certain areas that I'm focusing on right now. So instead of going, well, here's all the information, let me pull the information out of the book into notes and go back, because that's what I do with a regular leadership book. I'm going to, you know, I get all the notes together and these are my highlights. Instead, you've got it put together so well that I go, what am I working on today? Oh, I'm working on this part of my social media. I'm working on my Twitter. I'm working on whatever. I can open up the book, and in the very beginning, you've got every single one of those chapters. Like you said, 66 chapters.
Yes, is that? 60.
Yep. You've got all those lined out. I look at it. I go to it. I've got the information right there. It makes it easy for me to implement right
there. Yeah, and I try to write each chapter as a self-contained chapter, so you don't have to read these sequentially. Mm. In fact, I almost never read books sequentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I do if I'm listening to them on audio, but if I'm just reading a book, I dip in where I'm interested. And some books you can't read that. Some books, you know, are written to develop an argument over time.
Right.
But I wanted a book that would make it easy for people to get into their, you know, kind of their point of need, their point of pain, and solve that problem.
Yeah. Now talk about, because you just mentioned Seth Godin Tribes. That is one of your big pieces in the book as well.
Yeah.
Building the tribe. Again, I know I keep hitting this, but we keep thinking sell out. You know, take my message, take my information, send it to a person.
Yeah.
And get that person to buy. That's no longer, I mean, that's always going to be a portion of what you do in business.
Sure.
But that's not the most effective. That's a one-to-one, you know, interaction. Talk about Tribes and how important that is, especially in the social media and the sales portion.
Yeah, well, Tribes is actually, that concept is the reverse of that. So rather than just selling out, we're essentially attracting people to something that we're passionate about. And we've decided as the tribal leader that we're going to lead. So no matter what you're passionate about, if you're passionate about Harley-Davidson motorcycles, or you're passionate about Apple products, or you're passionate about blogging, or you're passionate about getting people out of debt financially, as Dave is, you can build a tribe around that. In fact, Dave is an example that I use in the book of somebody who's a tribal leader who's built an army, an enormous amount of people in his tribe who are passionate about financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And so when Dave leads that, I mean, they don't feel like Dave's selling them stuff. Dave's helping them solve real world problems. And that's what tribal leaders do. And so you've got to figure out what your passion is. And then you've got to create a means for the people that are potential tribe members to connect with you. And that's really what I detail in the book. How do those people connect with you so that they communicate to you? You communicate to them. They can communicate with one another. And most importantly, how do they communicate with the outside world on your behalf so they become unpaid evangelists for your product or your service.
Right. You're actually creating megaphones all over the place.
That's right.
Even in places where you're not reaching, if you don't think, because I'm going to tell family members that may not be here. I'm going to, you know, tell people that I know, or using my social networks, which is one thing that's been huge, is if I've built a decent social network myself and you come to me with information, I want to share that with my tribe, but then they've got their own tribes.
That's right.
So it's just compounded past that. So that's a great way of getting your message out, getting yourselves out. Just take a quick turn here. Before I do that, what else is there about the book? Is there anything else that you want the listener to understand or know about?
Well, again, I think that there's no situation you could possibly be in where a platform wouldn't help you.
Right.
So again, I don't care if you're an author trying to get a book published, a comedian trying to get a gig, a public speaker, a politician, a small business owner, a corporate personality, a marketing director. We certainly live in a world where no job is guaranteed. But if you've got a platform, it makes your following portable, your business portable. You can take it wherever because people trust you. They might connect to your company, which is great, but they're really connecting to people. People want to connect to people. And I go through all that aspect of trust in the book as well.
How do you convince, when you got started in social media, was it a, oh my gosh, I got to do this. This is a must. It was painful, wasn't it?
Well, I would say two things about it. First of all, when I got started in blogging, I thought, okay, I want to start blogging because this is a repository for my best thinking. It helps me kind of sort through my thinking. But Chris, for 4 years, it took me 4 years to attract 1,000 readers.
Wow.
4 years. So I was just slugging it out day after day.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And part of it was that I was inconsistent in my blogging. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. But then in that fifth year, something interesting happened. I went to 22,000 average readers a month. And then the next year, 53,000. And like I said earlier, I have over 300,000 unique visitors a month to my blog now. Most people quit right before the inflection point.
Okay.
And I don't care what it's in. If it's in sales, you know, if you're successful, the reason you're successful is because you persisted past all the people that gave up right at the inflection point. Mm. And so to just hang in there, it'll happen. I've seen it over and over again. But back to your original question. When I first heard about, I guess, the first social media after I'd been blogging for a while, somebody talked to me about Twitter. And I said, it was at a restaurant. They were showing me on their iPhone how they were doing it. And I said, that's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, why would I want to do that? I don't need one more thing to waste my time. I've got enough time, you know, enough trouble trying to get everything done as it is. And I was a busy CEO at the time, and I just thought, that's just nonsense. So he said, let me just challenge you to try it for 2 weeks. And he said, get your wife on it, my wife Gail, get your daughters on it so that you have somebody to care about.
Right.
And I did. I loved it because I not instantly, but almost instantly saw the power of it. Mm. And then I started meeting people on Twitter that became real life friends and real life business associates, people that I was selling stuff to, people that started trusting my company as a result of my involvement on Twitter. Well, that really convinced me.
Yeah.
So then I was a rabid evangelist for Twitter.
So you you've got a huge following, obviously. How do I convince somebody, because this is one of my big struggles, as I'm teaching through Entree Leadership and I get into the marketing section and I'm teaching social media and saying how important this is, how do I convince somebody that they need to take the time? And on top of that, where would you have them start? So we're looking at just from the pure business aspect of selling your product, doing whatever, building this tribe. How do I convince them and where do they start?
Wow. Well, first of all, two great questions. In terms of convincing them, I would say, okay, as a business person, what's important to your success? You know, is it getting visibility for your product, your service, your company? Yes. Okay, check. Is it influencing people to do business with you? Yeah, probably is. Is it creating a showcase for your product or service so that people can experience? Well, social media makes all of that possible. In fact, I've often said that Twitter all by itself is maybe the greatest leadership tool ever invented. If leadership,
really?
Yeah, if leadership is about influence, and it is, then what Twitter makes possible and what Facebook makes possible is the ability to influence people that you would never possibly have contact with otherwise.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've got 120,000 people right now following me on Twitter. I mean, that's more people than the my hometown. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, how could I possibly influence that many people in the real world where I, you know, I have a few friends and I've got some other business associates, but there's no way.
Right.
Twitter makes that possible, makes the amplification possible. So, but to your second question, how do you get started? I would start, and I talk about this social media framework, but having a home base, you need a place in cyberspace that you own and control. It's not a rented platform. It's not a borrowed platform. It's your own platform where you control the messaging. You need a website or a blog. Now, you say, well, I'm not a writer. I couldn't possibly do a blog. Well, could you do a video blog, a vlog? Could you do a podcast? Could you do something that establishes your expertise and your authority so that people want to connect around the passion, the thing that matters to you? And almost everybody can do that in some shape or form.
Right.
Doesn't have to be a treatise if you're writing a blog. It can just be you noticing what you care about and occasionally sharing about your business and again, becoming a trusted authority.
And in starting out, this does not need to be super high quality.
No.
And in fact, in the social media world, that's one of the great things is it does. Now, you don't want to don't miss out on this, folks. I'm not saying do bad quality. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be super high quality. And you can do video on your iPhone is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
To post out something, just talking about your product, talking about how it's needed, whatever it is, or bring in an expert to talk about it as well and put that out there. Once people see it, that is what's going
to happen. Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I would say in some ways, the lack of production value makes it more trustworthy.
Right.
Because when it's really slick and, you know, all that, we think advertising. And we dismiss it. Well, I'll give you an example. I have a friend who owns a video business in Brentwood, Tennessee. And he's just launched one aspect of it where it's really important that he establishes his credibility as a professional videographer.
Sure.
So now he's doing these videos where it's just him talking about what does it take to make a great video. And it's just him, direct to camera. Very simple. I mean, you know, one take. And it's exploding because people trust it. Mm. And he's being recognized as, oh, he's the go-to guy. He's the guy that I want to get this information from.
Absolutely. All right, quick turn.
Okay.
Before we finish up, because you are a leadership expert, you have read, I don't know, 700 books on leadership. It's a ton. You read a lot. You chew books, don't you? I mean, you go through them fast, which is impressive. Tell somebody, moving into the leadership realm, let's tell our listeners a few things that if you were to look back at a young Michael Hyatt, you know, the young leader, because I love your writing about when you were up and coming and the mistakes that you made. I mean, they're solid. They're great.
Thank you.
What are some of the things that you would tell a young Mike back in those days now, you know, from this side of leadership?
Well, I would say be a voracious reader. You can't spend too much time or too much money on self-development. And so, I mean, it's the first thing I do every morning when I get up, you know, and I consume books. The reason I'm able to consume so many books is because I do it while I'm running and I do it via audiobooks, and it kind of kills two birds with one stone. And the truth is I don't really like to run that much,
but <it's,
laughs> I really don't.
It's your way of getting your reading done.
It's a way of getting my reading done. So like this morning, for example, I got up and I couldn't wait to get back to this book that I'm reading. And so it was just like, oh yeah, I got to run to do that. But the running wasn't the thing that got me up. It was getting back to the book that got me up.
Oh my gosh.
So that's a secret. And I mean, your automobile, Zig Ziglar said this years ago, your automobile can be a rolling university.
Right.
But spend the time, because most people will not read. Most people in our culture are not readers. But readers are leaders and leaders are readers. And if you'll invest the time, you'll grow by leaps and bounds. Another thing, spend time and energy and money on conferences. Because conferences are a different sort of input, because you're in a context where you can network with other like-minded people. And that's been huge for me. Another thing, if I could tell the young Mike Hyatt, hire a coach sooner than you did.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hire a coach till 10 years ago. One of the best, absolute best decisions I ever made. And it was expensive when I did it. I was spending like $10,000 a year. I spend more than that now, but I was spending about $10,000 a year on a coach. Huge. Huge. I mean, that investment grew tenfold. It's one of the reasons I ended up becoming the CEO of Thomas Nelson, is because I got somebody who could objectively look at my life and say, Mike, you don't see this, but here's what you need to focus on.
Wow. Powerful. You know?
And just to have somebody that was in it for just me and not for any other agenda.
Right.
So I really believe in coaches.
Powerful stuff. Well, obviously, people need to visit you at michaelhyatt.com, which is every single day you're putting out incredible information on leadership, teaching people about leadership. What other things, where can people get more information from you? The book, you've got a special thing if people buy the book this week, which is huge.
This
is genius to me. When I saw that you were doing this, this is genius. Talk about that.
Okay, so I want the book to be on the bestseller list. So that's all about velocity. We got to drive as many books through retail stores as we can in a 1 week period. I mean, that's kind of the whole game in the publishing world. So I said, how can I create something of unbelievable value that would make people want to buy the book during that week? And so I've been telling people now for weeks, don't buy the book. Don't buy the book. You know, just wait. I got something coming. So if you buy the book this week only before the end of the day on Friday, May the 25th, I'll give you $375.98 worth of free bonuses.
Oh my gosh.
Just to buy the book. That includes a 6-part video series on jumpstarting your platform. It includes a 1-hour video that I did called Why Is Now the Best Time Ever to Be an Author? So even if you've never thought about writing a book, why you should consider it and how it could really credential you in a way that nothing else possibly could. If you buy the book this week only, not only do you get the physical book, but I'll give you every digital edition, including Kindle, Nook, iPad, PDF.
Oh my gosh.
And I give you the audiobook. So there's like 7 bonuses. It's crazy. In fact, my managers were saying to me, they said, okay, enough already. And
stop.
I said, yeah. I said, no, I just want to make this so compelling that people can't say no.
Oh, you can't say no.
So you go to michaelhyatt.com/platform, buy the book anywhere you want. And then all you got to do is forward the receipt to me at gifts@michaelhyatt.com. gifts@michaelhyatt.com. And when we get that receipt, we process it, immediately send you the download link to all these amazing resources.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, all right. So where can people get more of you?
Well, 2 sources. One is my blog at michaelhyatt.com. So that's H-Y-A-T-T, michaelhyatt.com. And then also my podcast on iTunes. It's called This Is Your Life, or you can just search for my name. But it's once a week. I release it on Wednesdays. It's in the business category. But I just try to deal with the sort of work-life issues that all of us have to confront and kind of my thinking and my philosophy. And I also have questions from callers or from listeners.
Fantastic. Folks, these are things that your blog is my number one every day. That is in my reader. That is the first thing I read. I love the podcast. You're doing an incredible job with that. You're knocking out of the park on that as well. So, folks, make sure that you get out there. Go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to iTunes. Look up This Is Your Life. Get Platform the Book right away. Get it this week. Thank you, Michael, for coming in and doing this.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be with you.
Wow. For me, this is a powerful interview. This is a big interview. For those of you that are out there listening, here's what you need to understand. You are trying to sell something. That is why you're in business. I always tell people, it doesn't matter if you've got a warehouse full of stuff. Until you make a sale, your business doesn't actually exist. It's not there. So this is powerful stuff. Make sure that you go get that book. Tons of great information. Mefford, what did you think about that?
Well, the selling part always makes me think of what Dave always jokes around. If you're married, you made a sale.
Yes.
So we're all in the sales business in one way or another.
Dude, you made a great sale. Let me just say that right now.
Thank you very, very much. I also liked what he said. You shouldn't read your book sequentially.
I like that. I like that idea.
It was interesting. I went and saw a movie, this is a long time ago, Far and Away with my wife, and they had the reels out of order, and it doesn't work in movies.
Yeah.
I just want you to know straight up, you can't do that.
You went and saw Far and Away?
In the theater.
I think you just lost your man card right there.
You do these things for your wife.
It's for the wife.
She made a sale that day.
Absolutely, yes,
convincing me. You know what I also love? You said culture is defined by the examples of its leaders.
Mm.
So if you want your team to be on time to meetings, you got to be on time to meetings. If you want your team to be better communicators, you've got to be a better communicator. They're just going to emulate what you are.
That is one of the things that I try and push so much is the understanding that it is, like he said, it's by the behaviors of the leaders, which you could also say by the lack of behavior. You know, if you aren't setting that culture, your team will set the culture. And that may not be exactly what you want. So good stuff. Powerful stuff. Great interview. I love that. Again, folks, hopefully you're getting this. I know that there's a lot of you out there right now that are going, ugh, I don't want to spend time learning this social media thing. Why would I even do this? I'm telling you, go to my blog, go to chrislocurto.com and type in social media revolution. look at the statistics, you will be stunned. You'll be shocked at how traditional marketing is going away and how social media is taking over. And the longer you wait, the longer it's going to take to get on that wagon and get this thing going. So make sure that you get out there, get this information, get platform, get that going. You do not have to be the one who does everything. If you've got somebody, especially some of the younger folks on your team, by the way, some of the younger folks on your team would love to be able to walk through this social media process. They're probably already well in it already. Get them to help you out. Get them to help you with your sales process. All right. This puts another Entree Leadership Podcast in the books. I want to say thank you to the amazing people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our producer. Colin Fatke, our audio engineer. Becky Tennell, our...
She's our saleswoman of the year.
Our saleswoman of the year, because she's the one who makes the sales to all the people that come on this show. Obviously, Dave Ramsey and Mike Hyatt for coming on in today and doing such a great interview. Folks, go out there, take this information, change your life, change your leadership, change your business. And thank you so much for once again making this the number one podcast in leadership on the planet. It is because of you that we are there. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. Have a fantastic week. And we will see you on the next Entree Leadership Podcast. Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.
Running a business is not for wimps. If you lead people on a daily basis, you know how tough it is. You want your team to enjoy coming to work every day with the same level of passion you have. How can you do that? We've got three ways. John Acuff, Chris Hogan, and Chris Licurdo. These speakers travel the country inspiring business audiences, both large and small. They're not only endorsed by Dave Ramsey, they're on his team. They live and breathe Entree Leadership. They get it. And they know how to get it across to your people in their own unique styles. They'll share practical, proven, easy to understand principles that will impact how your team sees their work and, more importantly, how they see themselves. This is real life stuff straight from the trenches. Dave's company has won Best Place to Work in Nashville 5 times in a row for a reason. You can win too, but you have to be intentional about it. Call our speakers group to schedule John Acuff, Chris Hogan, or Chris Licurdo today. Call 888-284-2488. That's 888-284-2488 or online at DaveRamsey.com/speakers.